الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. The Battle of Badr is the second major battle that was fought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The Battle of Uhud is the second major battle that was fought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum against the Quraysh of Makkah. This battle is named after a mountain, the mountain of Uhud. This mountain is a very special mountain. It is to the north of Madinah Munawwara, approximately two miles from the old city of Madinah Munawwara. Obviously now the city has grown beyond Uhud as well, or right till Uhud the city has grown. But the original city of Madinah Munawwara, from there to the mountain of Uhud, was approximately 2 miles. It is a mountain range of 7.5 kilometers. And the highest point is 3,533 feet. So this is the height of this mountain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned regarding the mountain of Uhud, Uhudun jabalun yuhibbuna wa nuhibbu. That Uhud is a mountain that loves us and we love it. Here when the word love is used, it refers to literal love. Allah has created this capacity in even inanimate objects that they can contain the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many examples of this nature. One example is the log that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recline on when giving his khutbah. And when it was replaced with a mimbar, then Sahaba radiallahu anhum all heard that log crying. They could hear the echo of the cry of that log in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah has created this capacity. And we should make dua to Allah. That when Allah has given the capacity to a hard rock and a mountain to have the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah should bless our hard hearts as well with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this mountain loves us, and we love this mountain as well. In a narration of Musnad Ahmad, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, وَهُوَ مِنْ جِبَالِ الْجَنَّةِ, that this is a mountain of Jannah. So it is a very special mountain. The reason and the cause for this battle was, when the Quraysh had suffered a defeat in Uhud, suffered a defeat in Badr, this was a very great blow to them. First of all, a blow to their respect, their honor, and the position that they held. And then it was a blow to their economy as well, because they were dependent on their trade caravans going to Syria and going to Yemen. So in winter it would go to Yemen, and in summer the trade caravans would go to Syria. They would buy from one place and sell at the other. And this was the entire economy. Now their route to Syria was no more safe. There is danger on the route. And that would mean that the economy will come to an end. They won't be able to continue. So it was a very great blow to them. Therefore, when the defeated army of the Quraysh returned to Makkah Mukarramah, and they found that caravan of Abu Sufyan was still left, or it was kept in Darul Nadwa, the parliament of the Quraysh, so to say, the place where they would have their meetings. So it was still not distributed to all those that had invested in the caravan. Some of the prominent members of the Quraysh, who had lost very close family members in the Battle of Badr, they go to Abu Sufyan and they say to him, that why don't we use the proceeds and the profits of this trade caravan to fight once again against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims, so that we can take revenge from them and we can put an end to them. So Abu Sufyan was very happy with the idea. some narrations suggest that he gave this idea and gave this suggestion. So in this way they decided that the capital would be given back to the people, to the owners. But the profit would be used, all the profit would be used against the Muslims. Now the profit wasn't a small profit. It was a caravan of 1,000 camels. And it was worth 50,000 dinars, 50,000 gold coins. And generally they would make 100% profit. So 50,000 gold coins was the profit that was going to be used now to prepare this army to fight Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So they began their preparations. They sent different people to the tribes that were around Makkah Mukarramah to gather them, to get them ready, to encourage them. And in this way, they prepared an army of 3,000 men. 700 were clad in full armor, 200 horses, 3,000 camels. Together with them were the allied tribes. Then they took their slaves along as well. And they took 15 women with them. Now the reason for taking these women was that these women would sing various type of poetry to spur them on. And out of fear of disreputation or disgrace and running away from the battlefield while they are women there, they would remain firm on the battlefield. So many prominent members of the Quraysh took their wives. The famous among them was the wife of Abu Sufyan, Hind. Both of them became Sahaba later on, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. So like this, 15 of them took their wives with them. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu had most probably become a Muslim after Badr. And he kept his iman as a secret. On the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he remained in Makkah Mukarramah secretly as a Muslim. So when he saw all of this happening, he sent a letter to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a person from the Banu Ghifar tribe, and he gave him strict instructions that within 3 days you should convey this letter to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The army of the Quraysh departed on Saturday, the 5th of Shawwal, under the leadership of Abu Sufyan, who later on became a Sahabi radiallahu an. So Abbas radiallahu an sent this letter, he dispatched this letter, and within 3 days, this messenger brought the letter to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Quba. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the letter to Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu an, and he asked him to read it for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam received this information, he asked Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu an not to divulge the information to anyone. This is also a very important adab, and we learn it throughout the beginning of this battle, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept the information, he didn't disclose the information. Why? He did not want to spread panic among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and among the Muslims in Medina Munawwara. Nevertheless, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam obviously acted on that information, and by that time the army of the Quraysh had already reached Dhul Hulayfa, what we know as Bir Ali, the Miqat, when we're leaving Medina Munawwara, the Miqat. So the army of Quraysh had reached that point. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent two Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were brothers, Anas and Mu'nis ibn Fadala radiallahu anhuma. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent them on Wednesday night to go and gather information. They came with some information to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent another Sahabi, Hubab ibn al-Mundhir radiallahu anhu, to estimate the number of the Quraysh and to get some other further information. When he came and conveyed this message to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, la tazkur min sha'nihim harfan hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Don't mention even a word to anyone. Don't mention a word to anyone regarding them. Allah is sufficient for us, and Allah is the best one who will take care of our affairs. It was Thursday night when now there was fear in Medina Munawwara, because the army of Quraysh came even closer now, very close to Uhud. There's a mountain that is known as Inain or Ainain. This is where the Quraysh came and camped. So that night, the leaders of the Ansar, Usayd bin Hudayr, Sa'ad bin Ubadah, Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhum, they stand guard at the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Masjid Nabawi, guarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there were many other Sahaba radiallahu anhum that were patrolling the streets of Medina Munawwara. During this night, this Thursday night, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees a dream. And in this dream, he sees a few things. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees some cattle being slaughtered, cows being slaughtered. Then he sees that either he himself or his Mubarak hand is in a very strong armor. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also saw that his sword, which was named Zulfiqar, this sword of his, the tip of the sword broke off. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw that he is riding on a conveyance and he's placed a ram behind him. And the interpretation of this dream was, with regards to those cattle or cows being slaughtered, that was an indication that Sahaba radiallahu anhum would lose their lives. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, being in the strong armor or placing his Mubarak hand in the strong armor, referred to Madinah Munawwara being a strong fort for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the tip of his Mubarak sword falling off, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam interpreted it that one of his close family members would lose his life in this battle. And the interpretation of it thereafter was that Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu anhu was made shaheed in this battle. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam placing a ram behind him on the conveyance, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam interpreted it that because a ram is generally ahead of the flock, so the leader or one of, or the flag bearer of the Qurayshi army would be killed, and Ali radiallahu anhu had killed the flag bearer of the Quraysh. So this was the interpretation of this dream that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had seen on Thursday night. On Friday morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now makes mashura with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Again, here we learn the importance of the sunnah of mashura. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the Sahaba radiallahu anhum the free will to give their suggestions. He was the Nabi of Allah. He saw a dream which gave him an indication. But despite this, there was no clear directive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No clear cut wahi that had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mashura with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Because of this dream, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's inclination was that we must remain in Madinah Munawwara and defend Madinah Munawwara. We must not come out from Madinah Munawwara. Because the dream had given the message of Madinah Munawwara being that fort, that strong protection. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt that we should remain in Madinah Munawwara. And many senior sahaba, ansar and muhajirin felt the same. However, the young sahaba radiallahu anhum, because of their spirit and they desire to give their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and certain sahaba who were not blessed with the opportunity of taking part in the battle of Badr, they felt that we lost out on that opportunity, and they wanted to take part in battle and to give their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These sahaba radiallahu anhum, they suggested to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we should go out. And they also had some very valid points. They said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ukhruj bina ila a'da'ina la yarawna anna jabunna anhum wa da'ufna." O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take us out to fight our enemy. The enemy should not feel that we are not coming out because now we have become cowards and we have become weak. If we don't come out to defend Madinah Munawwara or to fight them, they would feel that these people now are weak, they are cowards, therefore they cannot come out to fight. So their suggestion, and their very strong suggestion, was that, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we want to go out and fight. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also consulted with Abdullah bin Ubay, who was Ra'isul Munafiqeen, the head of the Munafiqeen. Because of his experience, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam consulted with him as well. His suggestion was that we should remain in Madinah Munawwara. Perhaps it was also because of his cowardice and not wanting to fight. But he also mentioned that experience has shown and proven that whenever Madinah Munawwara was attacked by an outside force, that outside force was never successful. They could not fight against the inhabitants of Madinah Munawwara as long as they were in Madinah Munawwara. So we will remain in Madinah Munawwara. If they have to invade, then the men would fight on the streets, and the women and children will go on the rooftops and they will throw stones from the roof at the enemies. So this was his suggestion. However, as we mentioned, the young sahaba radiallahu anhum and certain other sahaba, including certain seniors, like Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Nu'man bin Malik radiallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, they all supported the view that we should go out of Madinah Munawwara and fight. And because of this strong suggestion, And that as we explained, was based on their desire for shahada. They desire for martyrdom and to give their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of the persistence, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finally decided that we will go out of Madinah Munawwara and fight. It was Friday, the time of Jumu'ah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a khutbah encouraging the sahaba radiallahu anhum to strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make preparations, to become serious and to exert themselves in striving in the path of Allah. By Asr, sahaba radiallahu anhum were already ready and prepared. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after performing the Asr salah, he goes into his Mubarak residence with his two companions, who are his companions up till today, and will be his companions on the Maidan of Hashar as well, on the plains of Qiyamah, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr and Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhumah. They go and they assist Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in putting on his armor, in tying his turban, etc. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out. Whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his residence, in his home, preparing for the battle, then Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu an and Usaid bin Hudayr radiallahu an, they say to Sa'ad bin Mu'az and Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhumah, Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu an, he explained to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the young Sahaba, that you all have forced Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take this decision. This was not the inclination of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of your strong suggestion and your persistence, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave into your suggestion. So this is not right. This is incorrect for us to force Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they also realized that they should have not insisted so much. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out, then they say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we have forced you and this was not right, it was not becoming of us to force you in this way, to insist and persist in this way. So no, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can decide freely as you want to decide. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that ma yanbaghi li nabiyyin idha labisa la'matahu ay yad'aha hatta yahkum Allah baynahu wa bayna aduwihi. That it is not appropriate, he has put on his armor and his equipment of war, that now he removes it until Allah decides between him and between his enemy, until he fights his enemy. Why? Because removing it without fighting is a sign of cowardice. It's a sign that the person is a coward, that's why he has removed his armor and his equipment of war. And this is not in keeping with the position of a Nabi. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them that now whatever command I give you, you should hold firm onto that command and remain on sabr as long as you persevere and endure. Inshallah, you will be victorious. Wamdu ala ismillah, and let's proceed taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tied three flags. The flag of the Muhajireen was given initially to Ali radiallahu anhu, then thereafter to Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu. The flag of the Aus tribe was given to Usaid bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, and the flag of the Khazraj, the other major tribe of the Ansar, was given to Hubab ibn al-Mundhir radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed the blind sahabi, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu, as the imam for salah in Masjid Nabawi. And after Asr salah on Friday, the 11th of Shawwal, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Madina Munawwara with an army of 1,000 sahaba radiallahu anhum. 100 were clad in full armor. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and another sahabi, Abu Burda radiallahu anhu, had horses. Besides that, there were no other horses. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was riding on his horse that was named Sakab. And Sa'ad bin Mu'az and Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhumah, the leader of the Aus and the leader of the Khazraj, they were clad in armor, walking briskly in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the remainder of the sahaba radiallahu anhum on the right and left of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this way, they left Madinah Munawwara. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.